This morning on Radio Jackie, I'm talking to the Liberal Democrats MP for Epsom and Yul Helen Maguire. To start with, a family in Epsom has struggled to get a school placement for their son, Joshua, with SEND after multiple failings and delays by Surrey County Council. Why did these issues happen in the first place?
Yeah, so this is a really, really difficult and awful story where Joshua, a child in Epsom, who's had multiple challenges, he's got autism and ADHD, and he really struggled to get a place in a suitable school. So it was his father who actually contacted me, and quite simply, Surrey County Council failed to implement Joshua's EHCP, which is the Education, Health and Care Plan. And even though a specialist school had been found to actually place Joshua in, which was in Cranley, Surrey County Council just repeatedly refused to fund the placement. They said that there were cost concerns and they didn't provide any further reason. So unfortunately, Joshua's father has been fighting for him for an incredibly long period of time, about 2 years. It's cost tens of thousands of pounds for the family. And during that time, Joshua's health has deteriorated and he's had limited support from an educational perspective. So it's just an incredibly difficult and stressful journey for the family. I am now relieved that Joshua has finally got place in the school that he was offered a place in. But I think it's just absolutely shocking that Surrey County Council has simply failed to meet its statutory obligation. And I think what's worse is that this isn't the only piece of casework that we're getting on special educational needs. There are so many families that we're getting emails from who are finding themselves in a very similar situation. And quite frankly, the system is broken. It's underfunded and it's under-resourced and it needs to change. And I think, on top of that, it's also just highlighting some of the, systematic failures within Surrey County Council's SEND services, and urgent reform is absolutely needed, because at the end of the day, it's about, the children and their education, and they shouldn't have to suffer in this way.
What can be done to make sure councils follow the law for children with special educational needs?
Well, that's absolutely a good question. And we need to find a way to be able to hold them to account. And that accountability piece isn't there at the moment. So, government does need to come in. I know that they've said that there will be some increased funding, but there is a legal obligation to be placing children in schools, and that's not happening. So I think government needs to come down stronger on this.
And you mentioned it took about 2 years for this to be sorted. How can delays like Joshua's be prevented?
Well, the system is under-resourced, but it's not just that. It's in Surrey County Council. There's been a really adversarial system. And so actually, in the end, it's probably cost Surrey County Council more money than actually if they just funded the place initially. So I think there needs to be a more open, fair and transparent system. And that's just simply not happening right now.
How are you pushing for changes in Surrey County Council's SEND services?
So we've been meeting with the leader of Surrey County Council on a regular basis now. We also met with the head of Children's Services. We've been writing letters and also raising it in Parliament as well. And not just myself, but also the other five Liberal Democrat MPs in Surrey.
And how will you help parents dealing with similar problems be heard?
Well, I continue to voice all of their concerns in Parliament. We're doing that through the, communications and other media, and obviously on the radio right now, so that, government gets the message that, children throughout the UK, if they've got special educational needs, they deserve and have a right to the same education as every other child. And we just can't continue to fail them in the way that's happened over the past few years under the failure of the previous Conservative government.
Moving on to the water bill, you're calling for a ban on water boss bonuses following Ofwat's announcement. Why do you think banning bonuses for water company executives is important?
Well, what's happening at the moment is that bonuses have been given out, and that's regardless of whether those water companies are polluting the rivers or not. So, Ofwat has now announced that it's preventing three water companies from using customer money to fund bonuses, and that's absolutely the right thing to do. What's really startling is that the Thames Water's chief executive just joined in January. He received a £195,000 bonus for just 3 months of work. And, and this is at the same time when our rivers like the Hogsmill and the River Mole are being polluted, which is massively impacting our environment. So companies shouldn't be using customers' money to pay for chief execs' bonuses, when they haven't got to, when they're not actually preventing the sewage spills to happen in the first place. So we're calling through the Water Special Measures Bill entitled to BAM bonuses until sewage spills end and leaks are repaired.
And how have those sewage spills affected local communities?
Well, I mean, you just go down to the River Mole, for example, and if you go down to the Stepping Stones, then you'll see signs there that basically say that it's so polluted, don't go in the water. And, you know, this should be a place of beauty where families can spend their time, when the dogs can go in the river and the kids can paddle. And when you go there, it's filthy. And the last time I went there to take a photo, you could see baby wipes coming down the river. You know, so it's absolutely disgusting. I mean, this is our natural environment. You know, it should be free of pollution. So it's affecting people, and they can't, you know, enjoy the environment in the way they'd like to, you know, with their friends and family.
Yeah, it's not good at all. And what would you say to the government and Ofwat about putting people and the environment first?
Well, it's so important that we put the environment first. I mean, it's what, you know, residents and constituents in Epsom and Ewell and Ashton and Leatherhead have been calling for. You know, they tell us how important their rivers are to them. They tell us how important the natural environment are to them. And if we don't take care of our environment, then what's next? You know, it's so important that we do put our environment first.
Moving on to the specialist hospital, what's the latest update on the new emergency hospital, and do we know when it's going to be ready?
Well, I'm afraid I don't have much of an update on that. So I'm still waiting to hear from the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care for the timeline of the new emergency hospital. He said that he would update the House in January. Now, we do know that the new emergency hospital is in the scope of the review that they are doing. So I'm looking forward to some positive news on this. So hopefully come the new year, we'll have some more news on this.
And winter fuel payments, what are you doing to make sure people get their winter fuel payments this winter?
So we've been pressing the government to obviously reverse the winter fuel cuts. You know, despite our calls for that, they're not doing that. So what we're saying to residents is, you know, please apply for the pension credit if you are eligible to do so. We know it's a difficult and challenging process. So if you're not sure how to do that, then there are charities like Age Concern, for example, who can help you. So please reach out to those charities or other charities like Citizens Advice Bureau, for example, who can help support you as well.
So you've just mentioned those charities there. Is there anything else that you're doing to help vulnerable people with heating costs this winter?
Well, we're calling for, you know, again, you know, there's been energy price hikes recently. You know, we're calling for the government to reverse those energy price hikes. You know, the UK is one of the countries with the highest energy costs in the UK, and that's not right. So we absolutely need this government to review that, to make sure that everyone who lives in the constituency can afford to heat their home.
You're calling for urgent reversal of national insurance hike. How will the national insurance rise affect GP surgeries in Epsom and Ewell and Surrey, and what can be done to protect them?
Yeah, absolutely. So a number of GP surgeries have reached out to me, and they've said that the increased costs are, you know, going to mean that instead of recruiting more staff, that they might actually have to let some go because it's just simply unaffordable. You know, and I think this is, you know, really interesting, because these costs are meant to actually fund the NHS, but actually what they're doing instead is, you know, not improving the frontline NHS services. It's actually going to make them worse. So if we want to improve them, then we really have to exempt GP surgeries from this national insurance hike. You know, they have exempted NHS providers, but they haven't included GP surgeries in that. So I really hope that the Chancellor will change her mind on this.
What impact do you think this tax increase will have on patient care in Epsom and Ewell?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the challenges. And as I've mentioned, some GPs are saying that it might mean that they can't afford as many GPs. It might mean they can't afford as many nurses. And if you don't have as many nurses or GPs in the local surgery, then patients will ultimately have to wait longer. They won't be able to see someone as quickly as they might like to. So ultimately, this, you know, will have a negative impact on patient care.
And what steps are you taking to work with other MPs to oppose this rise and support local health services?
Well, yesterday we were all speaking out in the Opposition Day debate, which was on national insurance hike. So we're speaking out as much as we can on the issue to try to push the government to change their mind to provide an exemption for GP surgeries. But it's not just GP surgeries. I mean, it's also, you know, businesses and charities. It's really going to hit them incredibly hard, and we just need to, you know, get them to change their mind on this.
And the final thing I want to touch on is this small business survey. Why has the local business survey been created and what do you hope to learn from it?
Yeah, so this Saturday is a small business Saturday. So it's that day when we're urging people to go and support your local high street and just show these businesses how important they are to you. So we know how small enterprises play an absolutely vital role in fostering community spirit and economic growth. So it's really important that we support them. So I've launched this survey, which you can find at helenmaguire.org. And I'll also be visiting lots of companies ahead of Small Business Saturday this Saturday. So effectively, the survey is going to help me understand what businesses in our area need, just to ensure that they're able to continue to provide the great services to everyone here in our community. And I'll be using any insights from that survey to advocate for local businesses in Parliament.
And how has your past experience as a small business owner influenced your work now?
Yeah, so it really helps. So as a previous small business owner myself, I really understand the challenges of running a small business. And I think it helps me give an insight into the dedication, the resilience that's needed to operate a small business. You know, there are highs and lows in operating a small business and so many different challenges that people and the businesses have to cope with. And so because of my previous experience, I've just got some, you know, greater knowledge and insight into that.
And am I right in thinking that you've already visited some businesses or you're going to visit some?
I'm going to visit some. I've got a couple on my agenda for today. So I'm visiting some. I've got Fatima's Hair Boutique in Epsom lined up, All Things Nice Cafe in Newell and Lavender's Flowers in Ashted. And not only am I going to visit them, but I'm actually also going to be rolling up my sleeves and helping out as well so I can really get that hands-on experience of serving customers and really understanding, you know, about the daily operations of these small businesses.
So you're getting stuck right in there. That sounds brilliant. And what changes would you suggest to help small businesses instead of the national insurance tax rise?
What we've been calling for instead, ultimately the Labour government, you know, has made these changes to try to raise revenue to invest in the NHS, and we understand that. But in our manifesto, we outlined a variety of other ways that they could actually raise funds and we can put into the NHS. So we have called for the reversal of the bank levy that the Conservatives reversed when they were in government. And we've called for greater taxes on digital media giants. And we feel that these are better ways that we can actually make the people with the broader shoulders and bear the cost so that we can actually have the funds to invest in the NHS. So it doesn't hit the small businesses, which are absolutely vital to supporting our local economy.